Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, and I am joined by Kent Steinbeck, who always keeps some laughter in my soul. And we're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. Kent, we've got a great study, as always, because we're in the Bible, we're in the Word of God, and we're in Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19, and the title of this is Restrained Lips. I want to begin by just reading this. We're going to talk about it. And this verse says, this proverb says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Kent, this is a good word. And what it's talking about is the foolish man is the man who's always running his mouth. The foolish man really has no wisdom, but he thinks he's an expert on every subject. He's got an answer for everything. And so his life is really characterized by just endless babbling and talking over others and talking about really what he doesn't know. And he's spouting off. He gives rash statements. He really hasn't even had time to think this through. Just off the top of his head, snap response to things that are in front of him, or he's in a social gathering, and he's always the person who's kind of the motor mouth and just endlessly talking. And so it really is inevitable. Excuse me, I need some more Herb's coffee here, yeah, Kent.
Take a big drink. How is it?
it's tremendous, Kent. Oh, it's the best of the best.
True.
Okay. And so with his many words, it's just inevitable that transgression is going to be unavoidable, because everything that he says really becomes out of his own ego. And he really is bragging and boasting about how he has the right perspective on every situation, has the right answer for everything. And so it becomes transgression in the sense that what he says is falsehood. It is not true. He's misrepresenting reality. And so, you know, Jesus said that every vain word we will give an account on the last day. By total contrast is the wise man. And it says, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So he obviously is the God-fearing man, and he knows divine wisdom, and he has the eternal perspective, and he has the mind of God on situations. But God has not revealed everything to us. I mean, Proverbs 29:29 says, the secret things belong to God, and the things revealed belong to us. And so he's wise enough to not speculate and to almost invent answers to try to come off as the all-knowing one who has the first and the last word on every subject. No, he's wise enough to exercise self-control. And so he restrains his lips and doesn't claim to know everything, doesn't claim to be the last word, the expert on everything. So what this proverb is saying, Kent, first of all, we need to have wisdom before we open our mouth. If you don't have wisdom, it would be better for you just to be quiet. So first of all, we have to have wisdom. And wisdom is found in the Word of God and in knowing God. And then second, we would be wise also to learn to restrain our lips, because we actually don't know everything. Only God knows everything. Only God is omniscient and all wise. And so, Kent, just to summarize this, better to be quiet and have people presume you must be wise than to open your mouth and to remove or to disprove that you're wise. So, Kent, we need to talk about this, and we live in a very, very verbal culture surrounded by people who have, you know, answers on everything. So let's talk about this.
Well, I think I need to not say anything. Just restrain my lips.
Yeah. This is one of these, what does Kent need to hear? Okay, we're going to do restrain lips. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's just close in a word of prayer.
Really? So, Steve, I think my first question would be, and maybe for our viewers, is this for non-Christians or Christians or both?
Well, the first half of this describes non-Christians. Mm-hmm. And the second half of this describes Christians. However, the warning that is given to the non-Christians would be applicable to us as well.
I see.
To not try to come across as though we have an answer for everything and that we have, oh, I know why this happened in your life. Like Job's counselors tried to give him counsel. They did more harm than good by relentlessly trying to give their perspective that if you're suffering, it's because there's sin in your life. Well, there was not sin in Job's life. He was the most righteous man in the face of the earth. Not sin in his life in the sense that he was just continually sinning. And so they gave him bad counsel. They should have been quiet. They should have learned to have restrained their lips. They can't pry into the secret things of God and to know what's behind the veil and the affairs of providence. We just know that God is at work. And I like what one man has said. God's doing 10,000 things right now in your life. You may only be aware of two of them, but there's countless other things that God is at work in your life in the affairs of providence.
What is the, you mentioned it, but what's the governor that would keep us from talking as much as we should? And I guess some of it's personality too, isn't it?
It is personality. I'm glad you mentioned that because some people are introverts. I tend to be an introvert in a crowd of people. Other people are an extrovert. And I would say, Kent, you're more of an extrovert. And it's not a matter of spirituality. It's really more a matter of personality, how God has made us. And so I think we need to be aware of that. And some self-awareness is a good thing. I mean, Kent, we were at the church picnic yesterday, and I was sitting at a table talking with you and Amy, and I realized, you know, I need to take the initiative. I need to get up. The easy thing was for me to talk to you. And I get to talk to you all the time. I need to take initiative and go talk. We had like 400 people at the picnic. I need to go talk to them because I'm not always able to talk to them. So that's the introvert in me pushing myself. The extrovert just needs to have the self-awareness, I think, at times to let other people hop in and, you know, make contribution. Maybe for the extrovert to even put it in the form of a question. What do you think? How's it going with you? And to let them give an answer. But you're exactly right, Kent. That's personality. The governor, and I love that word. There's a governor like on a golf cart that keeps you from going too fast. I think the governor is a couple things. One, obviously, it's the Holy Spirit who gives us self-control. And there needs to be a reeling in of us by the Holy Spirit. And there are times I catch myself, especially with the use of humor, with some people that wouldn't be as receptive to my humor. I need to pull back the reins on that and then also be more gentle with my words with certain people. You and I can kind of banter back and forth, and I love it, but I can't do that with everybody else. I think another thing, Kent, is self-awareness. I think, you know, even Calvin begins his institutes with the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self. Self-awareness is a helpful thing, and I think our spouses are helpful in giving us feedback on self-awareness. And I just need to know where my blind spots are and when I step in verbally in ways that I really shouldn't. And I don't realize sometimes how my words could be hurtful to someone else. So
we need to be self-aware of being self-aware. But you know what?
You heard it first right here on Steadfast Hope.
Steve, I remember you've told me, you know, you've met with a lot of well-known preachers and pastors and men in Christian circles. And I've heard you speak about sometimes in these groups, there's one or two people that really speak the whole time, and they're the last ones that should be speaking.
It's so true.
Can you give maybe some, just a, without naming names, obviously, even in, you know, Christian circles, how damaging this can be, and what how it makes us look when we talk too much?
Well, sure, and I think we could apply it to the head of a department in a business. We could apply it to a small business owner. We could apply it to a CEO of a major corporation. You just are so right, so used to always being right, that when we take you out of this setting and put you in another setting, you just still think, you know, that you think you're right about everything. And some self-awareness would be helpful. I mean, you may be the last word on in accounting, but you may not be the last word on the Bible. And so there just needs to be a conscious awareness that I need to restrain my lips, and that would be wise. That's what Solomon is saying here. And having said that, Kent, I also need to say there are times we need to speak up, and there are times we need to step into a situation and speak God's truth to people.
It's really,
we got to end here, but it's really pride too, isn't it? Kind of covered up a little bit. Yeah.
And sometimes it's to win an argument.
Yeah.
And I've got to have the last word.
Yeah.
And where I should have let the other person have the last word, and God's going to really have to change their mind. I can't really change their mind. And so I just need to let the dust settle and let it be. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. This is really a good proverb. Very practical. I need it. You need it. We all need it. And so he who is wise learns to restrain his lips. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.